Because this sermon is a very, very important teaching, and I will encourage everybody, please reduce the movement. And if you came with a book, a biro, a writing material, a Bible, you will need it in this sermon. Amen. Thank you, media. Praise the Lord. You see, I can relate now very much with the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 when he said, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereupon. Let me just quote it the exact way he said it in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10. He said, according to the grace given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Are you with me? You see, there are certain things in your walk with God that must be laid as proper foundations. Or else, when the winds come, when the storms come, they will blow you off base. Are you with me? And I see that in our day and time, there are many churchgoers who are easily blown away. There are many so-called Christians who are easily blown away because their foundation and the very bedrock of their faith was not rock solid. Are you with me? And so, you know, in as much as I believe God for growth and we are growing, sometimes I'm even grateful that I still have the ability at this point to put some things, to correct some things properly. Are you with me? You know, I and a pastor friend were talking yesterday. And as we were talking, it dawned on us how much deviation the current practice of Christianity in the, what you can say, the average Christian. So much deviation from what biblical Christianity looks like. And we are like, if we don't correct this thing, we're talking to ourselves as pastors. If we don't correct this thing, our generation, the next 30 years, we will have more watered down believers. Let me give you some examples. You know, this year, you know, it has been titled, what's the theme of this year? The apostolic year, right? And truly, we heard God. I am telling you. Truly, we heard God. There will be fire. It's our year of fire, of order, and of destiny. Now, under order, there is something you can call doctrinal order. Have you ever heard people say things like this? That, and we're talking about theology and the doctrine of the Bible, and we got into the subject of the Trinity. And then he was like, even some pastors do not even know that there are some things they use to explain the Trinity that are actually church established heresies. Like, if you study the history of the church in the last 2,000 years, there were things that the early church and the early church fathers actually discussed, and they termed those things heresies. One of the heresies that was kicked out of the church is called the heresy of modalism, where you try to use an animate thing or a scientific thing to explain the Trinity. So, a good example is, they say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is like water, gaseous, liquid, and solid when it is freezed. But the problem with it is, it's a wrong heresy. It's a strong heresy because water does not exist in vapor, in liquid, and in solid at the same time. But God exists as Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost at the same time. So if you use that to explain the Trinity, you are wrong. Now, do you know that there are many Christians who have never heard this thing before? What I just said. And maybe there may be some way say, okay, how will I explain Trinity now? I got the idea. It just dawned on me that truly, I have a lot of teaching to do. Even our approach to spiritual things. The way we handle the things of God. I've been looking, and I'm not just talking about you. Are you with me? I'm not just talking about members of New Breed. I'm talking about the larger body of Christ. I just see the way many, especially young people, for the old people, there's nothing much I can really do. But the ones upcoming, every generation ought to be an improvement of the previous. Are you with me? Ought to be an improvement of the previous. And so, I've decided that in our teachings, I will try my best to not just preach rhema over you or preach some deep revelation. I will try my best to assume that I'm laying foundations again and start building from there. Amen. 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 And by the grace of God, I have come as a wise master builder. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we receive utterance. Lord, I receive utterance. Lord, your people receive direction. They receive foundation. They receive wisdom. In the name of Jesus. Can you tell your neighbor we are not playing here? Psalm 111 verse 10. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Are you with me? Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then Proverbs 9 verse 10, don't worry, I will say all of them again. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I want us to read that one together. 1, 2, 3, go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Say it one more time. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. See, I like this particular one because he tells you that the fear of the Lord doesn't have to do with being scared of God. You know, there are religions and practices where they are actually scared of God. But when he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, he's talking about a kind of reverence of God or a kind of hallowed understanding of God that imparts to you wisdom. Are you with me? So I like the other part, the knowledge of the holy. He helps us understand what it means by the fear of the Lord. The knowledge of the holy. There is a hallowed, holy understanding you will have of God that when you begin to walk in that reality, you are set to walk in wisdom. Are you with me? Are you with me? Please don't miss me here. Praise the Lord. So as we journey in this apostolic year, the Lord has stirred my heart to teach what I've titled the beginning of wisdom. For today, are you with me? And if you look at the theme of the year, when it says the apostolic year, we said our year of fire, our year of order, our year of destiny. I feel like it's a prophetic arrangement of what we should emphasize this year. We will begin with fire. Everything has to do with our intimacy and our connection with the Lord. Are you with me? Are you with me? And so, if you look at the scriptures I read, two men quoted them, David and his son, Solomon. The man of God, David, and his son, Solomon. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111 verse 10. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. So, when you see people giving themselves over to the commandments of God, there is a kind of understanding, a good understanding they have. Are you with me? Are you with me? And then, Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you know what that means? It means in the school of wisdom, class number one is called the fear of the Lord. Class number one is, do you fear God? How much weight does God have in your heart? How much weight? For instance, if the government announces, or if the government announced that by 6 p.m. tomorrow, everybody stay indoors. Nobody comes out. And then you just see someone by 7:20 malingering. Just cruising, just taking a stroll. Where are you going to? See, I'm going to Area 11, close to defense headquarters. They say, quick, come. Are you aware that the government has announced that by 6 p.m. everybody should be indoors? He said, Henna, I know. And you are going. He said, who be government? The next thing you want to ask him, do you know who the government is? Are you with me? Because the fear of the government in that regard is the beginning of sense. Are you with me? You want to ask him, like, do you know what you are doing? But guess what? That's even a lame example compared to God. Are you with me? That's a very lame example. A very weak example compared to God. God? You know, for many Christians, it is true they have been brought into the family of God. But they have been so carried away by the family, they have become too familiar. You are dealing with God. And God will say a thing. And you just flaunt it. You just ignore it. And you move on. The problem is, when you are trying to compare your own reasoning, your own mindset with God, see, there will never be any point of comparison. It is too much. Are you with me? There was a man in the Bible called Job. And there was a time he was going through a tough season in his life. You know the story in the book of Job. You can read it. And then, one day he was so angry, he began to challenge God. God now said, you are challenging me. God said, okay, you know what? Stand up like a man and answer me. Where were you when I set the pillars of the earth? When I command, are you with me? When I commanded the stars to be formed, where were you? He said, God asked him, have you ever heard of the creature called the Leviathan? Are you with me? Where was that when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Talk. Actually, God started this discussion by, God said, who is this that darkeneth understanding with words? Who is this? Who? God was like, who is this? That's how God, who is this? That's the person you are dealing with. You know what it means? That God is called the Ancient of Days. There are many things I can go on when it comes to eulogizing God. I can go on. There are things I read in the Bible. Let me give you one to think about. The Bible says that when he sent Israel to cross the Red Sea, that when Moses divided the Red Sea, that the children of Israel walked on dry ground. Not just dry ground, on dry plain ground. If you know anything about oceanography, if you remember your geography properly, they told us that the ocean bed is never plain. It is rocky. So at what point did God prepare a Julius Berger smooth road for people to walk? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That their leg was not stuck in mud. If you also remember, when they went from Egypt into the wilderness, when did they buy new clothes? People grew. Remember, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And they never had the opportunity to buy new clothes. So at what point did their shoe grow? You don't understand. At what point did their cloth expand? See, we talk about the miracles we know. What about the ones we don't know? I'm just telling you one of them.
That means by the, as at when he was creating the world and creating that ocean, he put a road there saying that one day, I will need this road. That's the God we are dealing with. That's the God we are dealing with here. So when David, the man of God, tells his son, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is truly the beginning of wisdom. If you don't fear God, if God has not gotten to a hallowed position in your heart, if you have not gotten to a point where you begin to see God for who he really is, you have not begun your class in the school of wisdom. You have not begun class. Because remember on Sunday, I was talking about presumptuous sins. There are many things you will do thinking you are wise. In the future, it will be obvious that you are actually foolish. Because the thing about wisdom is, sometimes you don't even know enough to make the right choice. No matter how hard you try. I want to ask you a question. How are you sure that in the next 10 years they'll be in Nigeria? How are you sure that the next 10 years there will be a country called America? How are you sure? How are you sure? How are you sure of anything? There are many people who have gone through tough times in life, and it's not because of anything they did wrong. Sometimes they did not do anything wrong. Okay, somebody who was on the road going from one place to another, and the bandits stopped them, arrested them, kidnapped them, and cut off their head. What did they do wrong? It's easy to say evil things happen to people because of the evil things they did. But okay, what if there was somebody there that did nothing wrong, but he entered the bus? Are you with me? I'm just trying to show you how limited humans are. So when he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, if God has not gotten to a hallowed place in your heart, you've not started your class. Praise the Lord. So we know you are growing when God has a hallowed place in your life and you've understood that whatever is the will of God is the wisdom of God. Whatever is the mind of God is the wisdom of God. Whatever is the counsel of God is the wisdom of God. Say after me, I believe in the wisdom of God. Even when it makes no sense to me. I believe in God's wisdom. Somebody say it too. I believe in God's opinion. I believe in God's counsel. See, I am saying you, telling you to say this because there are people who question God. Oh my God. You may not understand why I'm teaching this. It has taken me years. Let me put it like this. It took me 20 years to finally resolve that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You are wondering what I'm saying. I said it took me 20 years to understand it. Let me tell you something. When God says, this is the direction I want you to take, don't use your life to experiment what will happen if you don't take that direction. Because there will be things that you don't even know that you lost a thing. You know, there's a level where you know that you missed something. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's another level where you don't even know what you missed. You don't know. Sometimes it is in eternity, in the great beyond, you realize, what? I missed this. This was for me.
You know, I've said it many times. It is it is us that are learning about Joseph. That, oh, Joseph became a prime minister after he went to the prison. For Joseph, as at that time, when he was in the prison, he would have been wondering, but I obeyed God. Are you with me? But I did what I believe is the way of God. Ah, where did I end up here? How come I'm here? And then, do you know Joseph was in Egypt? Before he became the prime minister, he was in Egypt for 13 years. So let's assume he got to Pharaoh's Potiphar's house at age 17. Actually, he was sold when he was 17. And then maybe he was kicked into prison when he was 20. And he was in prison for 10 years. And those 10 years, he may have been asking, this thing does not make sense. Why am I here? Why is my life like this? And like I've said before, what if he escaped? He found a way to tactically escape out of the prison and run back to Canaan to meet his father. And ran back to Israel, saw his father, saw his siblings. And then he would look at them and say, you sold me, right? I'm back. I'm coming home. Coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. I'm back. And to him, that may have been breakthrough. But in God's own picture, are you with me? But in God's own picture, you have lost everything. And he will never know. Oh my God. He will not know. The first instance I gave, he did not sleep with Potiphar's wife. He was in prison, and then let's assume he escaped. He would not have known what he missed. If he actually slept with Potiphar's wife, and he became the chief baker in Potiphar's house, he would have also been excited that I am doing well, and he would also not know what he missed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me tell you, when you understand that the opinion of God and the mind of God and the counsel of God and the way of God is wisdom, you will not be quick to compare yourself with people. You will not be quick to say, look at that one is driving a big car. There was a time in this country, if you were driving a Volkswagen Beetle, you were a big man. Who knows that? In Nigeria, there was a time when Beetle? Some people have never seen Beetle before. Let me find trouble. Who knows Citroen cars? Gen Z cannot get it. There was a time on the road, I cannot forget in Port Harcourt, when the governor is passing Beetle. I am telling you, convoy of Beetle. Drive Beetle on the road right now. They may just... Even taxi will not agree. If they drive a bit to here, you will run away. Say after me, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I want to read some verses to you. Let me say it again. We know you are growing when God has a hallowed place in your heart and in your life, and you've understood that the will of God, the counsel of God, and the way of God is the wisdom of God. Before I read those verses, think about Joseph. So now, Joseph's obedience did not just save him, it saved his family, it saved his children, it saved a nation. Are you with me? It saved the whole nation. It saved the nation of Egypt. It saved the nation of Israel. That's actually not a nation. That's two nations. You don't know. Maybe that carelessness in your approach to God, you may be destroying nations untold. You just don't know. Are you with me? Are you with me? Let me give you another one to think about. No, this one is sensitive. I'll leave it. Isaiah 45 verse 9. Oh my God. Isaiah 45 from verse 9. The Bible says, everybody read with a loud voice. 1, 2, 3, go. Took sentences from this place I want you to look at closely. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Hey, Jesus. Woe unto him that striveth. You see, people strive with their maker. Do you know that? Many of you, you may not know, but you have been striving with your maker. You always fight God. You resist God. I told you, it took me 20 years, Abby, to learn that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I told myself, this year, I will not step out of my house anymore until I pray. Anything that wants to happen, let it happen. Anything that wants to happen, anything that wants to happen, even if you want to give me a car, a job, a business, a contract, if I have not prayed, if I have not faced my God, I am not coming. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you understand that? When you understand, see, there is something called haste in the human soul, where you are trying to hurry up to catch up with something material, and you ignore God, thinking that, okay, I need to get to that thing. I need to attend to this thing. I need to attend to this thing. I have come to discover anything you get in life that God's hand was not involved, it will not last. Just give it time. Anything that the foundation and the builder is not God, as the earth, as long as this earth remaineth, one day it will be revealed that God is not inside. It will die. They said Rome will be forever. Oh. Even if it lasts 1,000 years, go and read history. You are not the first. We are not the first to believe that we have all the ideas. They said Rome will be forever. All the empires believe that they will be forever. But here we are today. If not for history, if not for men like Josephus, we don't know them. We have no clue of them. If not for the historians of those days, we don't know them. We don't even care. We don't know them and we don't care. But guess what? The name of the Lord has endured forever. Oh, yes. Only what is born from eternity can last for eternity. Yes. The only reason why you know Pontius Pilate is because of Jesus. The only reason why you know that there was a man called Pilate, there was a man called Caiaphas, and Annas the high priest. The only reason why you know them is because of Jesus. So, when you understand what I'm saying, you will build your life with wisdom. Let me read another one to you. He says, shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work? Can you actually think that you are wiser than God? That you can be asking him, what are you doing? Guess what? We do it many times. I've done it many times in my life. I wish I had more time to really unpack. You know what? I will share with you some stories, both biblical and personal, to explain to you the fear of the Lord truly is the beginning of wisdom. The problem is that these stories, I've shared them before. Some of you know these stories, so it'd be too much repetition for some of you. Some of you will be hearing it for the first time. Are you with me? Let me give you one that happened during Christmas. You see, no matter how far you go, there are things that will just happen that will make you, God decides to remind you. Don't, you have mastered this, you should have mastered this lesson by now. So there was one of the weeks, the Lord told me, this week, don't go out. Then I prayed more to get more reason. Why will he say no go out? Then he said, this week, don't go out with this car. And something that happened, there was no other option but to go out. So I told them, as I see, God told me, I should not go out with this car. See, oh. So, I told them, God said I should not go, but see, this matter now, we have to go. So, and I told them, let us see what is going to happen. See, God loves us. So. You see, what did I say? We drove to the first place. Everything worked perfectly. A part of me almost felt like, but God said you should not go out. No, well, let me just come back, drive this car, come back safely. So at a point in my mind, have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you got something supernatural, and then when you try to act on something supernatural, you did not see the reason why. Why was that instruction there in the first place? Are you getting me? The car worked well. Everything was good. On our way coming back, and I said, let us branch Magic Land and drop our daughter for some magic experience. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See, just as we are about to enter the gate, I saw smoke from the bonnet. The steering was no longer turning. See, God saved me from another accident. People started shouting, Oga, stop! They're shouting on the road, trying to calm down the other car so that they don't hit me. Finally, you know when a car hangs like this on the road? The steering could not turn. Everything just stopped there. With the smoke, we came, opened the bonnet. Thank God it was not fire. But the way the smoke was coming out, I started smelling all kinds of things. We stopped there. Then I felt like the Lord telling me, my boy, how long will it take for you to know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? So I said, but God said, okay, we are here. We'll go and do this magic land. We went there. They said that the place is so jam-packed, they want to avoid stampede. So nobody's permitted to enter again. The magic land we went to, it did not work. The car we went out with, do you understand? And guess what? When it happens like that, it's even good. You now see the real thing God was trying to make you. There are sometimes everything will work out where you will not even see what God was trying to show you. When you actually see the consequence of your disobedience, it's actually better. At least you now know this was what God... This was what God was trying to avoid. Are you getting me? When you don't see it, that's worse. I've told you now. Then 2014. Now I know better. Oh, when God shows me something, when this God is leading me in a direction, I don't play again. So, of course, things are in different priorities. That one was in lesser priority than what I want to say now. That one. I was preparing for IT. I have applied to different places. I had a dream. In the dream, I saw a company, they wrote up there, Total EMP. I saw my name. I saw my brother's name under my name. But I had already gotten a placement in a company that I thought was bigger and better. In fact, they told me that this Total, they used to, IT people don't do anything, that they just send them to buy bole, buy bread and akara in the morning. The IT students are actually chefs. That's their actual job. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Please, if you are here, focus. Oh. Don't use your life and learn what I'm trying to teach you. Focus. Oh. Are you hearing me?
Yes,
focus. Oh. I know I'm laughing. I'm trying my best to make it understandable, but focus. So we started the IT. I was at the company I was working in. I was working there. And the work was strong. We were working hard. We were working so I was in my coverall, my helmet, and my boots. See, let me explain to you how tough the work was. See boats, see irons, see oil machines, see oil tools. I was feeling like truly I'm a mechanical engineer, oil and gas. The first day of work, I came back and fell. And I was so tired, I slept on that floor till the next morning. And I was proud of myself, not knowing that God wanted soft life for me. Ah! So my other friends that went there, you know, actually, the side of the story I did not tell was, even though after I had the dream, one thing led to another, I actually got that place. That place called me. That place called me. And I was saying, but I don't want to disappoint this man. This man that has given me this place here. But I felt like God telling me, God and man, who is more important? Is it about the man you don't want to disappoint? Or about the place that God showed you? Will you not is it not better to listen to God than to live your life to please a man? But, you know, I was still growing. So I went to please a man. And I ignored God. 2 months down the line, my friends that were doing IT in the other company called me and said, Kai, true, we're actually serving food here. Man, we have been, this guy said, I have bought Akara, eh? Oh my God, I've bought, for our international audience, it's called bean bun. When you burn, when you get beans and fry it together. And then I was feeling like I was the wise guy, but I feel like God telling me inside, I showed you that place. I showed you that place. 5 months into the IT, we're almost rounding off. I was trying to call one of my guys. I couldn't get him. Benson, what's happening? Later, he told me, that place, they changed the IT manager. This new manager came and said all IT students must go to the field. Not just that, all IT students must go to France. Not just that, all IT students must have total special scholarship. And I even discovered that my company was actually one of their contractors. My company was working for them. Those my guys that went there, they came back from IT. They finished school and went to France. See, I remember where I was. I cannot forget where I was. I sat down and started crying. Like, I sat down and tears were dropping from my eyes. It now dawned on me what God was trying to give me. Not even what, are you with me? You have no clue what you are doing to yourself when you take God carelessly. Maybe this should be the last time I should share this story. So that I will not cry again. Are you with me? I was trying to struggle with my maker based on my own intelligence. Based on what men had told me, I was trying to strive with my maker. Men had said, this place is better, but me. Are you with me? But God was giving me his own wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The wisdom of you are living your lives. I see the way many of you handle some spiritual things. I'm like, you don't know the way God is. It may take you time, but learn it early. Learn it early. Are you with me? For instance, that is the reason why it is because of those type of information and knowledge that God can tell me, leave Port Harcourt and move to Abuja, that I will obey. Naturally speaking, that's the place to be. You have made a lot of progress there. But God said, are you with me? God said, the wisdom of God, you learn to prioritize God, the way you handle the things of God. Even, let me tell you, even the way, I know that men of God have issues though, because they are men, but even the way you handle men of God, it will change. When you wonder, are you with me? I know they may drag me for this. This is how they manipulate their members to worship them. This is how they... The ones that are manipulating, they will meet God later. People that want to live their lives manipulating other people, don't worry. There is something called the judgment seat of Christ. They will jam Baba there. Praise the Lord. Look at Psalm 127 from verse 1 to 2. I heard a story that touched me. And it makes sense to me. There was a man of God. When I heard this story, he touched me. You may know him. He's a white minister, Jonathan Shuttlesworth. His grandfather was a man of God. His grandfather told him that every day of your life, pray and ask God, God, everything you want me to do, help me do it. Anything God asks you to do, make sure you do it every day of your life. Make sure you live your life consistently doing what God has asked you to do. And in the future, you begin to reap what is called compound interest of obeying the will of God. That one day, he has now become a pastor. His mother called him and said, my son, I want you to go and pray for so and so family. They're going through a tough time. Please, can you drive down there? He says, mommy, I'm busy. He forgot. Another day, he forgot. Another day, he forgot. Then the mother reminded me and said, please, my son, go and pray for that family. So he sluggishly just carried himself and went and prayed for the family and moved on with his life. 20 years later, he is now a pastor of his ministry. The ministry had moved to that city and they wanted to get a property. He goes to, they see a property they like. They tell the owner, we want to buy a property here. The man says, what are you into? And they say, we are into church. He says, yes. People have been coming for a warehouse, for companies, but me, I wanted a church, so I'm going to sell it to you. How much is the place? He said, the place is worth $6 million. So how much do you people have? The church said, we have only $500,000. And I said, but well, since it's a church, I will give you guys for $300,000. God has done it. And they were happy. And so they went, tried their best. First of all, the first miracle from $6 million to $300,000. Tried their best. They now finally raised the $300,000. The day they came to pay, the man asked him, what is the name of your pastor? They called the man's name. He said, I'm coming. Went back inside. Came out. What is the name of your pastor? Jonas, I'm sure just what? Are you serious? Call your pastor for me. Returned all the money back to him. He said, 20 years ago, you came to pray for a woman in this city. That was my mother. So, today, I'm giving you back this property to say thank you. Ask me, how do you want to work that out? And that was how they got a $6 million property for zero cost. Simply because somebody obeyed God. You know, it happened to us too in New Breed. I led somebody to Christ in secondary school. That was the person. 14 years later, gave us Agege Church, where we are using for church in Agege. Till today, I have not seen the person again. But he was part of the board of the family. The family runs their properties. The family said, this property that is just there. The guy said, David Ogenerobo, I know him. He led me to Christ in secondary school. Can you imagine? I pray for you. You will walk in the wisdom of God, though. When you understand this, you will not become careful. When God says, do this, many times you don't even understand. Psalm 127 from verse 1 to 2. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Hey, can we read this verse again? 1, 2, 3, go. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Read it again with a loud voice. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Then see verse 2. He said, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Now, don't read that second verse in isolation. No. Connect it together. It means that even if you rise up early and sit up late, if the Lord is not building with you, you will eat the bread of sorrows. There are too many people in life. They are working hard. You sometimes wonder, why is your life like this? Because many times they have trained themselves to consistently be against their maker. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When we are telling people, take your work with God serious. See. Can I help you? Take your work with God serious. Get serious with God. Let me talk to Bishop Oyedepo in the 80s. Now that we are serving God, serve him. So that you will not say we use jazz. You will not say we used evil powers. Now that we are serving God, serve him. Except the Lord build the house. And there are verses in the Bible that prove this. So there are stories enough in the Bible that proves this. Do you remember Cain and Abel? The story of Cain and Abel. God asked both of them to give offerings. One brought his offering, it was accepted. One brought his offering, it was rejected. Cain's own was rejected. And God asked him, if you do well, won't you be accepted? And then out of jealousy and anger and envy, he went and killed his brother Abel. And then God said, what have you done? Your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And then God said, you are cursed because of this. But guess what? After Cain was cursed, the Bible said he went into the land of Nod and built a city. Let's read it. Please, are you following me? And then if you look at Genesis 4, from verse 11 to 12, it says, and now thou art cursed from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And then jump to verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Are you with me? Verse 17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city. Now, if you thought about this, how can a man who is cursed build a city? And you feel like, what if the curse doesn't really have as much power as God said? Are you following me? What if he doesn't have as much power as God said? I thought God said he would be a vagabond in the earth, but the guy has gone on and built a city. I beg, this God thing shift. Have you not seen people who say, but this one, he's not a Christian. He's not really taking God serious, but look at, he has money. He has this. Don't forget, few chapters later, the flood in the days of Noah came and wiped off the city. The flood destroyed the city. The so-called city that Cain built, the flood destroyed it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Sometimes God allows the wicked to prosper because he knows that their future is not far. They don't have posterity. So he just, okay, do what you want to do. I have bigger things to do. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 2 that God was prophesying about the coming of Christ almost 1,000 years to come. The Bible says, they wanted to, the kings of the earth took counsel against his son and against his anointed. But he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. You don't understand. Start Psalm chapter 2. Start from verse. Okay, the kings of the earth send themselves, the rulers of the earth take counsel and take against the Lord and against his anointed. Verse 3. Let us bring their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Verse 4. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. So just imagine you were in heaven and you saw God sitting down. And he just did. Then the angels ask him, Papa God, why are you laughing? He said, I just saw that in 1,000 years' time, there will be some kings who will try to stop my son. But they don't know that I've sorted the matter already. Just imagine that. Like, what's the matter? Say, in 1,000 years time, some human beings that their great, 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 great grandfathers have not yet been born. He knows what they will be planning to do. And he has already planned a backup plan. Hey, God. And you are scared for your life. And you just say, what will my life be? The way I'm going now. Maybe, what if I end up as a failure? How can you end up? It's not possible. Please, am I talking to you? So, the wisest thing you will do is to align with that God. Are you with me? You say, oh, what if I don't get married? What if nobody likes me? What? You? Except you are not under his cover. Except you are not in sync with him. Except you are not aligned with him. Will I go to school? Will I finish? What? You? The Bible says that Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. These are the things, these are coming up, some of the things I know in my mind. I cannot fail. I thought you would say it. I thought you would say it. I cannot be small. I cannot be stranded. God has a plan for my life. See, do you know? Oh my God. You know, sometimes when we tell people, fear God, walk with God, serve God, they believe that God just looks for people to use and dump. But if you study what the Bible says about God in his relationship with us, you will be so overwhelmed with his love for you to think that. You know what it means? That scientists say that even identical twins do not have the same fingerprint. Do you know that? Even identical twins do not have the same fingerprint. That means for every single person that God created, God has something unique to do with them that he does not want to repeat again. That is how much God loves you and God is interested in you. Are you with me? Satan, God loves me. He has a plan for me. And I will align myself with him. I will fear him. I will walk with him. Glory. And that story I will use to round off today's teaching is in Genesis 13. There was a strife between Abraham and Lot. Abraham was wealthy. Lot also was wealthy. Can we look at it? Genesis 13 from verse 8. Genesis 13. Let me read from verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks. See, in life, sometimes it's not just where you are going to, but who you are going with that matters. Let me say that again. Sometimes it's not just where you are going to, but who you are going with matters. So God never spoke to Lot. Never did we see God speak to Lot. God spoke to Abraham. And God allowed Lot to follow Abraham. As far as God was concerned, if Lot is following Abraham, his lot is covered. Are you with me? And if Lot was following Abraham, he will have a lot. Are you with me? And Lot also, which went to Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. He was just following. Follow, follow. Sometimes, your faith is that you should follow those who through faith and patience obtain their promises. Yes, it's just, Pastor, I don't know where to begin my work with God. Child, just follow me. Me, I will tell you, follow me. Don't worry. Just follow. You will see. Praise the Lord. He says, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. Kai. So that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the headmen of Abraham's cattle and the headmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwell with them. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, me and thee, between my headmen and thy headmen, for we be brethren. Eh? Abraham, you are the one hearing God. Me, I'm not hearing. I was following you. Now you now ask me to go. No, sir. Sir. Please, I beg. Please. Let's change this discussion. Don't worry. All my head men, please, have sense. See? Yes, sir. How dare you allow me and Abraham fight? Is there anything wrong with you? Have sense. May sense fall upon you in Jesus' name. But no. Lot believed that he has enough wisdom to arrange all your life. You've been following. God brought you in. That's an ass sermon for another day. That's a sermon for another day. Let me leave that one. But well, I will show you what Lot's problem was. Lot did not have enough wisdom. He was being led by what he saw. Are you with me? And there was a strife. And so, Abraham said, "It's not the land before thee." That's verse 9. "Separate thyself, I pray thee from me. If thou would take the left hand, I will go to the right." Abraham is saying, "Anywhere you choose, I will choose the opposite." Ah! That should even make you fear. Abraham is not saying, I want to take the better place. Abraham is saying, whether it's wilderness you give me, I will go there. Hey, Jesus. That means there is something Abraham had that was not based on what was physical. Abraham said, if you go to the right, I will depart to the left. If you go to the left, I will depart to the right. The verse 10, everybody verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. So Lot said, that's a greener grass there. Verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Because remember in verse 10, he said he beheld the plain of Jordan, it was well watered, right? That was the plain that leads onto Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you following me? So it looked like a green grass. See, even, please, what I want to say, I have a nudge in my spirit to say it. Even when you are choosing a place to stay, even when you are choosing a country to go to, don't just stand up and say, Canada, Ontario, Toronto. That name sounds, it sounds like my Toronto, Calgary, Winnipeg. In Winnipeg, I will win. And I cannot be pegged down. New Jersey. My God. Texas. Houston, Texas. And you are there doing lottery. Visa lottery. You know, it is better in God in trying to help you that they denied you the visa than for God to allow you to go. Oh, my God. You know, there was a time in Israel that there was a famine and two women called Naomi and Ruth. Are you following me? Them and their husbands ran out of the land of Israel to a different land in search of bread, and they lost their breadwinners. It's in the Bible. My God. They came back to Israel. They lost everything, both their husbands and their children. Even if in the same city, you don't just, before you say, I want to go and stay in a place, have you prayed about it? I want to do this investment. What did God say? When last did God say, don't stay there? It's not every house you go and you can stay. It's not every property you should buy. It's not every business you should enter in. Please, are you with me? Please, are you with me? Are you in this service? Or you are? I hope you are not distracted. You know, one day the Lord told me, many of the people who are crying as though life cheated them, I tried to help them. When they were making those choices, I warned them. I'm telling you, that's what the Lord told me. So I tried my best to warn them. But many times, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. There is a way. Nobody with his eyes open will enter a place of damnation, will enter a place that will make things hard for him. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Are you following me? See verse 13. So, Okay, let me read from verse 11 to verse 13. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwells in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Verse 13. Everybody read verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Remember, I said, it's not just where you are going to, but who you are going with also matters. You look at your life, you check all your friends, you know that in the sight of God, these are wicked men exceedingly. Don't be surprised if when the destruction is coming, you may join them. See, you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in the end. In Genesis 18, because of time, I would have read some things to you. In Genesis 18, that so-called lovely city that he went to and disaligned himself from God and God's plan, God destroyed it with fire and brimstone. And the only reason why he was saved was because of Abraham. The Bible says, and the Lord remembered Abraham and saved Lot. That's what the Bible says. And the Lord remembered Abraham and saved Lot. Then even when God was saving Lot, I would have showed you. The angel told Lot, go to the mountains. He said, no, let me go to Zoar. Zoar is a small city. He has still not learned. He's still trying to be wise in his own eyes. God was telling him, go to the mountains. He was saying the mountain is hard. It's not like God telling you, go to this place. You say the city is hard. God is telling you, that's where God is saying, go. If you now read the story, he left Zoar and went to the mountains eventually. You know, some people's lives are like that. They are always opposite God. Always opposite God. The one God said, you say no. Don't get this thing. That's when the one you say you can get. Don't buy this one. That's when God say you can buy. Don't do like this. Every time they are always opposite God. How did Lot end? Eventually, for his lineage to continue, his daughters had to commit incest. They had to get him drunk and slept with him to have children. And God called them the children of abomination. The Moabites and the Ammonites. One day, Lot just was tired of the way life was and just killed himself and died. See, in the process, Lot lost his lot. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Some of you, you need to say, God, from now henceforth, what must I do to come back to alignment with you? Are you with me? What did Abraham have? Do you know that? Oh, Abraham. The Bible says in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it. That means including the land that Lot went to. So Lot was going, thinking he has secured his own, not knowing that Abraham is still going to be the landlord of where he's going to. No wonder God had to ask Abraham, should I destroy the place? God said he had to come and discuss with the landlord because he said, wherever you look, northward, eastward, westward, southward, I will give you. And Abraham sure looked everywhere. You better walk with God though. Because eventually, that's your real mineral resource. Is that one inside? I remember when Newbie was about to start. And somebody told me, how will you manage when you don't have money? He said, now you are leaving the oil industry to go and start ministry. How will you manage? See, I did not know when the response came out. I said, it's inside me. I said, even if you take me into a desert, everything will come out. Do you know, I had replied before. I'm like, you don't know me. I was talking to my auntie. I said, sorry, ma, sorry. She was like, sorry, yo. I said, it is inside me. Even if you take me to a desert, from inside me, it will come out. I have a covenant with God. Are you with me? The fear of the Lord. Say it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, Pastor, what must I do? Two things. Number one, learn his ways. Make up your mind that you will learn about God.
as this year is progressing, you will learn his ways. The Bible says in Matthew 11 verse 28 to 30, it says, "Come ye unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh my God. Say after me, "I've come into the rest of God." It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And many people stop there. He will give you rest. Verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." So that means, even though he promised you rest, the fullness of the rest that he promised you will only come when you take his yoke upon you to learn of him. So you will only come into the rest when you say, "You know what? Whatever God says I should lay aside, I will lay aside. Whatever God says I should take upon, I will take upon." Are you with me? See, there should be seasons in your life where you are actively learning about God. Not just seasons, every season. Let me tell you something. Even me, your pastor, I am actively learning about the Lord. Ask people that work with me. When you come to my office, whether it is in my office in the church here, my office in the house, you will see one book I'm reading. I am actively learning about God. Are you following me? Because the more you learn about him, the more you will honor him. The more you will know how to walk with him. The more you will understand his ways. Are you with me? Oh my God. The way God works. God wants you to be consistently learning about him. Learning his ways. Learning doctrine. Learning the things of the Spirit. Learning what is showing you per time. Then he begins to build you. You begin to enter what is called the dealings of God. Special dealings. Things that only you and God know. Covenants between you and God. Hey, Jesus. Things that God, he said, "I have made a covenant with Abraham." And God will come back 3 generations later and tell Jacob, "Because of your father Abraham." Some of you are wondering, why is pastor preaching like this? There's a way I'm feeling. See, I feel like no matter what I give you, even if I give you 1 million naira, if I don't give you my covenant of the Lord, I've cheated you. That's the real inheritance. Are you with me? That's the real inheritance. If I don't bring you into the place where you can know God the way I know God as a pastor, I've not really given you much. I've not really given you much. People come and say, "Pastor, give me this, give me that, give me this," and I'll give them. If that's what you want, there are people around me that I feel maybe the most important thing to you is money. If it's money, take. Take. That's what happened with Lot. You want land, Abby? Take. You want money, Abby? Take. But why not go for gold? Why not go for the real stuff? Some people are so rich that all they have is money. Number one, learn his ways. Tell your neighbor, learn his ways. Number two, seek first the kingdom in priority and in prayer. So in priority is, as you grow in your life, in your walk with God, God should be sacrosanct to you. You know, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3, I think from verse 15, it says, "Sanctify the Lord in your heart." Let God know that the most important thing to you is him. I've been asking myself some deep questions. If a Yahoo boy brings $100,000 to give me, will I take it? No, don't wait until you're in front of that temptation. Ask yourself now. What is more important to me? Is it the $100,000 or my relationship with God? If I have to kick away God because of what something on this earth can give to me, then my roots are not deep. How much priority have you placed on God? Are you with me? Now you understand why I say we are talking about the foundations, Abi. There are many believers. They will do Yahoo and give tithes. And believe that God will bless it that way. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. You do fraud. And you think that by sacrificing, thank God for the Bible, oh, by sacrificing from the fraud money, God will now receive it. They say, when the first fruit is holy, then the lump shall be holy. Yeah, using scripture to contradict scripture. So if I give this first tithe now from this Yahoo money, it has sanctified. Now lie, oh. You are not the first to do it. Saul did it. God said, don't collect the animals when you go and kill the Amalekites. Saul came and saw fat animals. Jesus. Saw cows like this and said, my God, Lord, we will collect them and we'll use them to sacrifice to you. God said, nice one. Sharp. Sharp. Then Samuel came and met Saul and said, have you done the commandment of the Lord? Saul said, of course. I have fulfilled all the Lord said. Then somebody said, what is the bleating of sheep I hear in my ears? The prophets of those days, Samuel brought out a sword. He says, what is King Agag doing in your house? So Saul saved the king and saved the animals. And before he could talk, Samuel the prophet killed King Agag. People, you know, some people, when a man of God correct them, they are angry. Go and read the prophets. Go and you want. See, I want Bible style Christianity. Don't worry. You will see Jesus with koboko, sharp like this. Koboko. He said, "What are you doing in the house of the Lord?" Some people. You know, I saw Nathan Ebasi was angry. He was doing praise and worship at Hallelujah Challenge. Somebody in praise and worship, eh? He carried tripod, closed eye like this. I was videoing himself. He was viewing himself. Pastor says, are you worshiping yourself? Or are you worshiping? He was viewing himself with the tripod like this. Then the pastor said, I wish I was Jesus. Maybe I would have brought a koboko. You don't fear God. No. Go to Babalawo house. As you are doing, say, as I'm sacrificing this thing, I set up my camera now. My ring light, as I'm sacred. They fear Babalawo more. They have more reverence. Are you with me? They have more reverence for a Babalawo shrine than the God of the universe. Tell anybody, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Oh my God, I have to close now. In priority. You will now learn to say, God, there are some things you don't debate with. I will honor the Lord. There are some I will say, they will criticize me. Lord, when I get money, my tithe, I will honor you. Lord. And I will not just transfer it to you. Lord, I honor you. You think God does not know? He feels it. He's a person. He looks at you and say, mark this girl. Mark this one. I honor you. Say after me, Lord, I honor you. I seek first the kingdom. Number two, you honor the Lord. You seek first the kingdom, like I said, in priority and in prayer. Say after me, prayer. So in prayer, you are waiting upon the Lord to find out his plan. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. You will see, business people here, are you with me? Take our 21 days prayer and fasting serious. Start now and say, God, what is your plan for me to expand this business? How should I expand this business? Give me the idea. He says, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Are you with me? You tell him, Lord, show me the way. Pray about it. You seek first his will in prayer, and then you come on ground and implement what he has shown you. Are you with me? Call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The fear of the Lord. When God says, don't meet that man for money, instead, talk to this other person for the money. Don't say, but this guy is my friend now. This one is my G. They don't want you to squeeze his face. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If God is leading you to the person that squeezed his face, go there. That's where your answer is. Are you with me? The owner of Econet, Strive Masiwa, gave a testimony. He said, you know, he's a Christian, strong Christian. He said he was praying, trusting God for
for a lot of money to expand from Zimbabwe then to some other countries. And God told him to go and meet a certain man. When he met the man and told the man his business plan, everything, the man said, I can't help you. I can't help you. Well, we are done with this meeting. Have a great day. He said, the only way I can help you is if you want to sell Econess to me. And he was like, why? I came to meet you for money. And so he was angry and he went away. Then a month later, somebody else called him and said, Mr. Trife, I heard you need such and so amount of dollars, millions of dollars, to set up your mast in such and so place. He said, you know what? I'll give you the money. I'll give you, I'll loan it to you. Take as much as you can to pay back this money. And he was like, thank you, God. That guy did not help me. Well, then later, he wanted to, first of all, tell the guy that's helping him how this other person did not help him. He felt a restraint in his spirit, saying, don't say that. Don't talk about that. Just go on. So he received the money, built the mast, expanded his business, and moved on. Almost a year later, the person that gave him the money called him and sat him down. He said, Mr. Strife, do you really know why I gave you that money? He's like, I don't know. Maybe. Just luck. He said, do you know Susan Soman? That's the man he met originally. So that man called me and said he has been restless. He feels that he's supposed to help you, but he was not in a position to help you. So he called me and told me to give you the money. When I was watching that documentary, I just stopped. So the person that actually told him no was the person that helped him. Jump on your feet. Say after me, I will fear the Lord. I will walk in his wisdom. Can you begin to pray right now? You know what? Don't even pray in tongues. Just talk to the Lord with your words. Lord, I will walk in your wisdom. Lord, I will walk in your wisdom. Lord, I will fear you. Lord, I will learn your ways. I will give myself to you. I will seek first the kingdom in priority, in prayer. This year, I will walk in your wisdom. And Lord, wherever I've made mistakes, by derailing from your wisdom, I receive your mercy and your wisdom to navigate. I receive your mercy, your grace to navigate through. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. Now pray in the spirit. Lord, this year I walk in your wisdom. I walk in your fear. The Lord will have a hallowed place in my life. Jesus, you have a hallowed place in my life. Rapata palande kepele te kepelia, runde kepele te 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 te, jepe kaya, jepe ketelia, ramba ba 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 la ta ta ya, erepele kepele kepele te kepele te ketelia, runde kepele te. This sermon should stir you up to prayer. Wherever I have been sleeping, wherever I've been down, away from your wisdom, I receive alignment. I receive alignment. I receive alignment. Lord, help me. Help me to be aligned with you. Even when it looks like God is slow. Even when it looks like God is slow. Help me, oh God. Help me, oh God. The fear of the Lord of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. Help me take my devotional life serious. Help me devote myself to prayer. I will walk in your wisdom. And say after me, in the name of Jesus, every way in my life that I have not walked in the fear of God and I have wandered out of your wisdom, Lord, I receive mercy. Lord, I receive mercy. I receive grace. By your mercy, bring me back to the path of wisdom. I wanted to say with a loud voice, by your mercy, bring me back to the path of wisdom. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. From today, I pray for you. You walk in the fear of the Lord, in the honor for the Lord, and in the path of wisdom. It becomes your lifestyle. It becomes the pillar of your life. It becomes your modus operandi. You receive fresh grace in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. If you have been blessed, shout glory.